I invite your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 is my text, and this message is the third in this series on Christ has been raised from the dead. Now, the synopsis of the entire series is inside your bulletin. So if you want to follow along today, it is a synopsis. It's not great detail, but we're going to be expounding some more scriptures this morning concerning the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and again, go first of all to verse number 1, and then we'll work our way up to verse number 12. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which means good news, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand. Notice the three things Paul here says about the gospel. He says, I preached it to you, you received it, and you stand in it. And then he says the fourth thing about it in verse 2. By which, that is by the gospel also, you are saved if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. There are some people, and sadly we all know of some, who have said we believe the gospel, they follow the Lord in baptism, they joined the church, and then 10, 15, 20 years later, where are they? Back out in the world. They never truly believed the gospel. When you believe the gospel, you hold on to it. The gospel is Christ. You never let him go. And Paul says, some have believed in vain. They had a head knowledge of this gospel, but did not have Christ in their hearts, and they've gone their ways. He says furthermore in verse 3, for I delivered to you first of all that which I received. This gospel was not of Paul's manufacture or invention. He did not make it up. He received it. And Paul delivered to others what he received. What I preach to you today is what I have received. It's been handed down through the years. And this gospel has these points. First, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Who are our sins? The sins of everybody in the world? No. Those who believe the gospel. Christ died for their sins. You have no hope, you have no confidence that Christ died for your sins unless you believe the gospel. And second, verse 4, that he was buried, and third, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, or just as the scripture said he would. And then fourth, and that he was seen by Cephas, that is Simon Peter, and then by the 12, and that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep, that is, they've died, which for the child of God is falling asleep. It's not death, as many people think of death to be. For us, dying is going to sleep. A good sleep. It's the sleep of one who has worked hard all day long. And you're tired. And you go and you lay your head on your deathbed and you go to sleep. And you wake up in glory. Well, some have fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and last of all, He was seen by me also as by one born out of due time. Now, he was seen by many people. We're going to come to that point in this morning's message. But the point that I stress is this. Not only did Christ die, not only was he buried, not only was he raised from the dead, he was seen. Anybody can say he was raised from the dead. But when you see him walking around, 500 people at one time, this is important. He was seen by many people. We're going to consider some of them this morning. But now my text in verse number 12. If Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, that's my text, and that is my subject. I am preaching to you this morning that Christ has been raised from the dead. It's a glorious truth to us. It's part of the gospel that we preach to you. Now, in the synopsis, you will see that we thus far have considered, first, Christ's resurrection fulfilled Old Testament prophecies. Second, Christ's resurrection was prophesied by Christ himself. Third, Christ's resurrection is declared and described in all four Gospels. And today, the fourth point is this. The resurrected Christ was seen by many witnesses and on various occasions. He was seen. Many people saw him. Let's consider some of these people who saw the resurrected Christ. Locate back to the book of John chapter 20. John's Gospel chapter 20. Now this continues with Mary Magdalene. You can read of her in verse number 1. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter. Observe, she did not see or hear the angels who were at the tomb. She walked, she looked in, she saw that the tomb was empty, and off she ran to see Peter and John, and told them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have taken him." Now, they ran to the tomb, and they saw, sure enough, he's been raised from the dead. Now we're going to consider Jesus Christ appearing to many people. And we begin with Mary Magdalene. Evidently, she was the first person to whom the resurrected Christ appeared. The first person. She was dear to him, and he was dear to her. He had cast demons out of her, and she became a very faithful follower of the Lord. Now consider in verse 11 of John chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. She evidently had followed or come with Peter and John. Remember, John was younger than Peter, and he could run faster than Peter. John got to the tomb first, looked inside, and saw that Jesus was not there. Then Peter came up because he was old. He could not run as fast. And he ran up and he just walked right on in. And they saw the garment that Jesus had been buried in. It's lying there. And then they saw his handkerchief that had been over his face, all folded up. All folded up neatly and laid in a special place, which was proof that his body had not been stolen. His body had not been stolen. All right. Now, when they run back to the tomb, Mary Magdalene evidently comes back with them. And she stood outside of the tomb because Peter and John had gone back to their house. She stayed. Then Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, She stooped down and looked into the tomb. We get the impression that this tomb did not have a very high doorway. You had to stoop to look down into it. And so she stooped to look into the tomb after weeping outside. And she saw two angels. This is the first time she saw those two angels. She saw two angels in white sitting inside the tomb. They're not sitting on the stone outside the tomb like the other women saw them. They're sitting inside the tomb. One at the head and the other at the feet of the place where Jesus had been lain, where the body of Jesus had lain. And then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She had not heard yet he was raised from the dead. She thought somebody had stolen his body, and she wanted to know where he was. And so she's weeping. Her eyes are full of tears. "Why are you weeping, woman?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord." It's interesting. She says, she did not say they took away his body. She said, "They took him away. They took him away. And I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Now you may ask, did she know Jesus? Of course she did. Then how could she turn around and see Jesus and not recognize him? I'll give you at least two reasons. At least two reasons. First, her eyes are full of tears. Full of tears. Her vision is blurred because her eyes are full of tears. She looks, and then she quickly turned around. She did not look at him long. You say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" It's written right here. "Well, I did not read that." You will later. But just bear in mind, she is looking inside the tomb. She turned around. She saw Jesus. She did not recognize him. She turned back around to look inside the tomb. Verse 15. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." She thought he was the gardener, the person who kept the grounds, the groundkeeper. Jesus said to her, now notice, the first time he spoke, he called her woman. This time he called her Mary. Mary. Interesting name. The word Mary means bitter. Comes from the word Mara, bitter. Oh, she had bitter tears at this moment. She has felt that bitterness has been brought into her life. Mary fits her name now pretty well. He said to her, "Mary." Then she turned. There it is. She turned. Because a moment ago, she turned around. She looked with eyes full of tears. Then turned back to look inside the tomb. Now, when he calls her woman, she doesn't look at him. She keeps looking inside the tomb. "Oh, Mr. Gardener, if you've taken him away, tell me where. I'll come and take care of him." Then Jesus said, "Mary." And now she turns around. You see this? And she turned herself. And she said to him, "Rabboni," which means teacher. She called him teacher. He had been the one who had been her teacher. And he is still the one who still is her teacher. She calls him by a term of great respect. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me." Because evidently, when he called her by name and she saw that it was Jesus, she was probably going to obey the impulse to reach out and embrace him and hug him. I mean, you know what? If you had a loved one who was given up for dead and all of a sudden was back to life, you'd be grabbing a hold of that one and hugging him or her, would you not? She evidently is wanting to grab hold of Jesus as though to say, "I will never let you go, never let you go." And he said to her, "Do not cling to me." He's not saying you cannot touch me. He's saying, "Do not cling to me as though you will never let me go." Why? "For I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." God is God to Jesus in a different way than he is to us. And the Father is Father to Jesus in a different way than he is to us. For example, Jesus is his only begotten Son. We believers are adopted sons and daughters. Therefore, I've got to go to my God and your God, and my Father and your Father. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. So, it is interesting. The first person to whom Jesus appeared, the first person, was not Peter, not Andrew, not John, not James. It was a woman. A woman. Jesus appeared to a woman, but not just any woman. There were a number of women who financed the ministry of Jesus Christ. Remember, he made 3 preaching tours around Galilee. He had 12 men with him. They had to eat, had to have clothes. Somebody had to take care of them. It was these women. These women financed this ministry of Jesus Christ. And now Jesus Christ, when he makes his first appearance, he comes back to his tomb and there is Mary Magdalene. He appears to her first. Now, there is another appearance. And this appearance is to Simon Peter. Paul said he appeared to Cephas, that is Simon Peter. Where did he appear to Simon Peter? Locate in your Bible Luke chapter 24. Luke the 24th chapter and the 34th verse. Luke 24, 34. And you read these words. "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Where was it? We're not told. We're not told. When was it? We're not told. Evidently, it was after. Well, we know that it was after he appeared to Mary Magdalene. And he evidently appeared to Simon Peter second. All right? Now, the third instance is in the same chapter of Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 24. And I want you to go to verse number 13. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 13. "Now behold, two of them," Jesus' disciples, "were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem." These were disciples of Jesus. They had been there in Jerusalem They evidently lived in Emmaus, 7 miles away, or else that's where they were staying, and they're going to walk back. Now, 7 miles, all right? I mean, that's the distance from here to beyond Frederickstead. I think the post office is 5 miles from here, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, that's a long distance. No automobiles, not even bicycles. They're walking, and it's kind of getting toward late in the day, and they're going to walk that long distance. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Yeah. Jesus had been crucified and buried. And now they say that the stone was rolled away. And somebody said he's been risen. He's not in the tomb. And so here they are. They're walking along. They're talking about these things. These things that had happened in Jerusalem about Jesus. Verse 15. So it was while they conversed and reasoned. They're wondering, how could all this happen? What did happen? We're not really sure what happened. We've heard the reports. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Perhaps he came from a side direction, or perhaps he caught up with them. And now there are 3 men walking on that road. The 2 men, one of them's name is Cleopas. We do not know the name of the other. And now Jesus is walking with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. They looked at him, but they did not recognize him. Their eyes were restrained. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk? And you're so sad. Why are you so sad? You're here walking along talking and you're so sad. Why is that?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And Jesus said to them, "What things?" As if he did not know anything at all about what had happened in Jerusalem. He was in the middle of the arena. And yet, he's asked, "What happened? What happened in Jerusalem? Something happened in Jerusalem?" And they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and they crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel," meaning we thought he was going to overthrow the Romans. We thought he was going to be a great king and redeem us from the bondage of our nation to the Romans. Indeed, besides all this, today is the 3rd day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had seen an vision of angels who said, "He's alive." I mean, yeah, imagine. These women said, "He is still alive." That's what they said to us. "And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said." But they did not see him. They did not see him. Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." Oh, he has just given them a rather sore rebuke. "You claim to be followers of God, and yet you have not believed what God's word says. Why are you so slow to believe the truth? You're acting foolishly. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to have entered into his glory? Have you never read Isaiah chapter 53? He was stricken and smitten of God. Did you not hear him on the cross when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Did you not know he was quoting Psalm number 22? His death was according to the scriptures. He died just as the scripture said. Should not he have died that way? The scripture said he would. And then, verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He preached the message. Okay, now, they're walking 7 miles. Let's say that Jesus joins them in the, after they walked a mile or two. They got 5 or 6 miles to go. It's going to take a while to go. He's going to preach a message to them. In the scriptures, we have a number of messages. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. He gives the gospel of his kingdom. Would you not have loved to have been there, and to heard that Sermon on the Mount or anything that Jesus taught and preached? In the upper room with his disciples, he gives what is called the upper room discourse. He tells them, I've got to go. I've got to leave you, but I will send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. It's a rather lengthy message. I would have loved to have heard that message. On the Mount of Olives, he preaches a message or teaches a lesson, which with Jesus would be the same thing, regarding the end times. I'd like to have heard that message. It's reasonable to say, if he preached the message, I would have loved to have been there and heard what he said. Do not consider me disrespectful if I say that if I could hear one message that he preached, I'd want to hear this one. This one. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Moses wrote, the first 5 books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. First 5 books of the Bible, Moses wrote those. Jesus, in this long walk, he's going to preach a message and teach a lesson. And he begins with what Moses wrote, and he's telling them the things concerning himself. Now, what could that be? What could that be? We do not know for certain because we were not there. But for example, the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, that's Jesus Christ. The tabernacle, that altar where they slew the animals, that's Jesus Christ. That altar was a type and a symbol of him. We have an altar, Paul says. It's Christ. There's a lamb on that altar. It's going to be sacrificed and its blood shed. You see that lamb? That lamb points to Jesus Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There's a priest. He's going to make a sacrifice at that altar. Well, Jesus Christ is that priest. That priest points to him. You say, well, preacher, which is he? Is he the altar, or is he the sacrifice, or is he the priest? He's all three. He's all, and he's more than that. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Now, I do not know what all Jesus talked about. We just know that beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, the earlier prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus Christ is the only preacher from God who preached himself. The only one. Paul the Apostle speaks for the rest of us when he says, we do not preach ourselves. We preach Christ who preached himself. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord. And this is the reason why that when I preach to you for the years that I've been here, whatever the text, I've tried to find Christ in it. If it's an Old Testament text, I look for Christ in it. We have endeavored to preach Christ to you regardless of what the text is. That's what Jesus did. And beginning at Moses and in all the prophets, he expounded unto them, explaining to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Verse 28. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and Jesus indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. Jewish hospitality required this. There were no hotels, no motels, no inns in those, well, a few inns, but only usually in the bigger towns. But if you saw someone who was in your town and he might be pitching his pallet or his bed in the courtyard of the town, hospitality said, come into my house. Come into my house. May rain. Well, they constrained him. They said, abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. And Jesus went in to stay with them. Going to spend the night there in Emmaus. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, not only do they want to provide his lodging, but also his meal. So they go get bread, probably get out the bread and the wine, and they bring it, put it on the table. And Jesus took the bread, blessed the bread, broke the bread, and gave the bread to them. Notice, he took the bread in his hand. He blessed it. He prayed. Then he began to break the bread. Then he handed it to them to eat. Amen. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. How did they know it was Jesus? Because when he put out that hand with the bread in it and they took the bread out, there's the nail prints right there in his hands. And they know it's him. They know it's him. And he's gone. He's gone. He vanished out of their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us on the road? And while he opened the scriptures to us, our heart burned within us. I hope your heart does. When you hear this gospel, my heart burns when I hear of Jesus. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those that were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. That's how they knew it was him. That's how they knew it was him. When he took that bread and broke it, well, the spike goes through the hand. Whether they're looking at this part or this part, they see the nail prints. They know it's him. He was known to them in the breaking of bread. And I hope that in the breaking of bread here today, in the preaching of the gospel, I hope that he's made known to you. This is the Jesus that I preach to you. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay and go tell his disciples. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm telling you now, he's risen. He's risen. Oh God, our Father, to the glory of your name, to the honor of your Son, Jesus Christ, help us to rejoice in our risen Savior, in whose name we humbly pray. Amen.